9, chapter 2. This is a short book, four chapters. And I'm splitting this chapter because it just had a natural division in it. But this is this book is unique in that it has this dialogue, this conversation going on between God and Israel. And God will accuse Israel, and when God accuses, he's always right. He will accuse Israel of things that they were doing that would dishonor him. And we saw this last week in chapter 1, that every time he had an accusation against them, all they wanted to do was argue and have excuses versus take it to heart and then repent. Well, Malachi then continues this pronouncement, but tonight is a little interesting. He focuses in on the priests of Israel and their failure. So I titled the message tonight, A Message to Spiritual Leadership. So in its absolute, direct application, it would be to pastors. But I think there's a broad application for all believers, because this would instruct the priest what they should be doing, and then what their problem was, and then what God does. And it's never a good outcome when he has to bring judgment. But it's also for each of you as well, because if the priest, or now today then the pastors and preachers, it's really instruction for what is our job. And we've seen that in 1 Timothy, where it gives the qualifications of a pastor. But if you wanted to add an Old Testament perspective on the qualifications for a pastor, I think Malachi chapter 3:29 is excellent, because it really is what the Lord expected of his messengers, priests. And he tells them what they were supposed to do, and then what they were doing, which wasn't right, and then what the fallout was. So we'll talk about that tonight in Malachi chapter 2. But before you write it off and say, well, I'm not a pastor or a spiritual leader, no, I would suggest to you that when pastors, or in this direct case, priests, were to be communicating, it tells the priest what he was to be communicating, what was important, what they should focus on, how they should live. Thereby then, when they do that, the people that they are preaching to and communicating to, when they're doing it right, then that's what the people should be doing as well. And so it doesn't excuse the people, but at the end of the day, there'll be more accountability, more responsibility. And the Bible says in James chapter 3, it says, be not many masters, that's the word teacher, for they shall receive the greater condemnation. I will be judged more harshly as a pastor than those that aren't. And I trust the Lord will equip me, and it's daunting. If you dwell on that too much, you'll want to quit. I'm not looking for that, but I trust the Lord, right? I love being a pastor, but when I think about the responsibility and who I am called to represent, what my job is, I am not qualified. It's ridiculous, and I've got to trust the Lord. But I will be judged, because when I preach, the way I live and how I speak impacts more people than you. Nobody that's an island in and of themselves. Let's read Malachi chapter 2, verses 1 through 9, then we'll jump into the message tonight. Verse 1, Malachi 2 says, and now, O ye priests, rocket scientist to figure out, who's he talking about? So that's why, the basis of this message, he says, and now, ye priests, this commandment is for you. Malachi is pronouncing it. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because you did not, you do not lay it to heart. Verse 3. Behold, I will corrupt your seed, your offspring, your children is what that is. Behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts, and one shall take you away with it. And verse 3 is seed. Verse 4. And you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life, peace. And I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. Verse 6. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law in his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But ye are departed out of the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base for all the people, according as you have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. That's passage of the night. Again, title message just simply is a message to spiritual leadership. I love the Bible. It always reminds me, and I can forget sometimes, in this passage, so, don't look at this passage. Just, I want it to go through your mind. And it will be a reflection. You don't have to say it out loud, but in your own heart. What is the priority of Christian? What is the main thing of a Christian? Because if the main thing of the preacher, of the priest, of the messenger, it should then be passed on to the people that that would be their main thing as well, right? Well, look at verse 2. He says this here. He says, if you will not hear it, if you will not lay it to heart, what? To give glory unto my name. I love this. I think many of you may have gone through your mind, but you may have said, well, the priority is to lift up the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I would say that you are correct, and that I think the greatest way to bring glory to his name is lift up Jesus Christ. But I want you to always remember this. Why is the priority to share the gospel of Jesus, gospel-centered, to tell other people about our great Savior? It's for his glory and for his honor and for his namesake. Remember that. His honor, his glory, and his namesake is more important than the salvation of someone's soul. I didn't say the salvation of someone's soul was not important and not critical, but I will tell you more important than that is the glory of our great God. And he wants us to lift up his name, to honor him and everything we do. And I love the simplicity of Scripture, right? It is that we would bring glory to his name. You know, I also believe the core of how we will bring glory to his name and how we actually accomplish that is love. That's why Jesus sums up the great commandments, that we love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. Right? You want to bring glory to the name of God? Then increase your love to Jesus Christ. The more you love Jesus Christ, the more you will realize that our job is to lift him up and glorify his name. I love John 17. because it has been just so meaningful to me, in that I want to learn to pray like Jesus prayed. And in his prayer, he constantly tells the Father, I have lifted up your name. Then what he says, I have declared your name unto the apostles. And then he prays for all those that would follow. He says, I don't just pray for them, but all those that will believe, for us in 2019, 2018, and all the years past, and then all the years future, that he says that we might lift up and glorify the name of Jesus Christ and the name of God. You understand, that is the priority. So, when we, and the how to do that is loving Jesus Christ and loving our neighbor. That's how we bring glory to his name. But keep it simple. Keep it simple. When you wake up tomorrow morning, David, your job and your task for that day is, how do I bring glory to the name of God? I love the simplicity. You know, we can get so caught up into, what am I supposed to do? Tell me, I want to know the will of God for my life. Caleb, bring glory to the name of the Lord. Tomorrow, and then today, it's the only day you can live for right now, right? Bring glory. And so, we're here on a Wednesday night. There's not much more you're going to do tonight, except you're going to go home and you're going to go to bed. So now just ask yourself this question today. What did you do that would bring glory to the name of our great God today? Did you purpose in your heart that says, I'm going to be conscious of that in my heart and in my mind, that says, I'm just not going to walk through my day mindlessly or aimlessly, because when we get routines, we can just kind of accomplish the routine and we don't even remember it. We've all driven someplace and you're like, well, I don't even remember driving. It's terrifying. But we don't want to do that with our lives as Christians. We've got to be alert. And so ask yourself today, that opportunity to share the gospel, but how did you bring glory to the name of our great God to your children? How did you bring glory to the name of God to your co-workers? Are you that alert, right? Are you that ready, right? I love young believers, right? I love Frank. Frank, you're on your toes more than most in this room. You're looking for the opportunity. You're looking for the spiritual doors, hinges to open, so that you can share Jesus Christ with your co-workers, with your family. You're trying to figure out how not to be obnoxious. If you do lean in either way, be obnoxious. You won't be nearly as obnoxious as I am, but I'm obnoxious. Your obnoxiousness is probably not anything near what mine is. What has God done for you to be alert and say, living today to bring glory to the name of my great God? And it's important for me to remember it. Every time I preach, every time I teach, every time I have the privilege of having a Bible study, I need to remember this. In the name of God, what is glorified, somehow they think it's about them that I'm saying. Because I want to remind everybody, if I'm anybody, that it's about the glory of our great God. Sometimes the way is not what we would sign up for. But when we remember that, it's good, and he says that they have forgotten. Now let's look at some details of this. I love this. He said this. He said, when they give glory, he said first, he says, if you will not hear. So, in order to give glory, you got to hear, right? The Bible says, be not hearers only, James, but be doers of the word. But, you know, this is important. You can come to service after service after service after service, and what will happen is, you kind of get tone deaf, right? Now, I mean, you know, I'm a shenanigan guy anyway. You know, I clap my hands, I do all kinds of stuff. Part of it is just because of who I am. But part of it is because I know that you need a little distraction. But even with a shenanigan guy like me, you can get tone deaf. And you can go an entire service and go, can't believe we're done. I didn't hear a word from that. Some of you are like, that's awesome. So it's already over. And just ask the Lord some time. Lord, help me to overcome my flesh, physical weariness, distractions today. Some of you know you want to meet your kid and you walk to church. You're feeling like a hypocrite. You're sitting here and you're thinking, I'm failing as a parent. I'm failing as a spouse. I'm failing as a young man. Not only good at the same thing. I just it doesn't matter. I'm such a loser. I'm such a failure. You know what? I want to say this. Ask the Lord to come to church. Say, Lord, would you help me? That's critical. He says, if you will not, and if you will not lay it to heart. He tells us that they did lay it to heart, but he says, if you will not hear it, this is important. You've got to hear God's instructions, and then you've got to take it home. It's important. It is, you know, if I could just tell you that, if, because it's for your own good, if you can, when you are sitting there, say, come here! And I know this. There's so many distractions, and I think it's almost impossible. I preached 45 minutes, not less, but I would love that sometime. But I preach 45 minutes. 45 minutes is very difficult in this type of setting for you to hang in there 100% of the time. So you're going to catch yourself. You know, get back here. Really be intense about it. This is a big deal. Not because of me as the preacher, but because of God's instruction in His Word. And He says you got to hear it and then take it to heart. We need to come to the preaching of God's Word and say, I want it to penetrate my heart. Don't you want it to penetrate your heart? I do. I know what I'm in all eternity, but I wish I had taken it more to heart. That I had loved Jesus enough that I would have been focused more. And so these are instructions that he said this. He said, glorify the name of God. Glorify the name of God. You better hear. You better take it to heart. Now this is tough. What he says that if they don't, and this is to the preachers. So I'm telling you, I'm going to apply to this. But it directly applies to look at this. This is, oh my God, this, when you read this, it's like, I'm not sure if God wants me to do that. Love pastor. I do not like it. If you will not take part to give glory into my name. Because let me just tell you real quick. You know what the toughest thing is about being a pastor? I make it all about me. Want that to be the case. You know, if I can just trust the Lord and honor the Lord, try to do all these things, you'll see. It should not matter to me who's here and who's not. It doesn't. Sometimes I can get discouraged. And you know what I believe? It's because I've made it about me. I should preach as strong with three people as I would with 10,000. Because that's how great our God is. And when we declare His name, and it's all about honoring Him, right? It's not about the numbers. It's not about what the impact will be. It's about this. I have the privilege tonight to lift up and honor my name of the Lord. And I must remember it's all about His name. He says, if you will not hear, if you will not lay it to heart, to give more in my name. That's what He says. We don't obey. He says, I will even now this is interesting. If you don't obey, you'll sin and curse. Now what you're going to find out, you can feel just really nice tonight that, you know, it's the preacher that's going to get the curse sent upon him. You just wait till we get to Malachi chapter 3. Okay? And so, God is serious about this. Look, he says, I will send a curse upon you. Then he really says this, and I don't think there's any other place in the scripture where he says this. He says, I will curse your blessings. Those things that God has bestowed upon you, his kindnesses, his grace, the blessings in your life, he says, you know, I will curse you, and then I'm going to curse your blessings. If you don't glorify my name, if you don't listen and you don't take it to heart, and he's talking, I know the direct application is to the priest, and I think then the application would be to the pastors and the preachers. He says, I will not only send a curse, but I'll curse your blessings. And then if that's not bad enough, because here's where we're at. It is, remember Eli, the priest, Samuel, gave his pronouncement that Eli just hardest part of that was having the curse. Not only will God send a curse, not only will he be cursed by blessings if I don't glorify his name, if I don't listen, if I don't take it apart, he said, behold, I will corrupt your seed. You see, sometimes we can, as Christians, we can go, you know what I deserve it? Whatever God gives me, I deserve. Just hold it in and contain it to ourselves. The Lord says, you know, I'm not even going to go into the description. I'll read verse 3 and I'll leave it as it is. This is about as. If this doesn't give you the perspective of God's disdain and his hatred and his just so fed up with this, look at verse 3. He said, behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feast, and one shall take you away with it. Let the scripture speak, enough said. That gives us a visual and understanding of God's disdain when we live for someone other than him, when I preach a message that is all about you. You see, that's where I've got to be careful. When I preach a message, if I make it about you, I have failed the Lord. Because it is not about you, and it never will be about you. It is always about him, and I must understand that and never forget that, because you know what? You and I want it to be about us. You want great tips for how to make your life better, how to be happier, how to enjoy life more. And those blessings accompany when we are focused on the Lord, but not always. See, that's this word. You're going to love these videos the next few weeks. We've been sold a bag of lies. It's not about your health. It's not about your wealth. You'll hear that over and over again. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and his glory. He didn't save us to make us miserable, but he saved us for his glory. It is all about him. And when we understand that, then we say, wow, I can tell it's all about him because this ain't all about me. When we make it about something else, when we do not, because these priests were still preaching. Understand that? What were they preaching? The message that other people want to hear. Feel good now. lie, but a covenant is a commitment, you know, a contract, an agreement. And he, you know, the tribe of Levi are the priestly line, right? And the family of Aaron would always have the high priestly function. The son sent to Aaron. And then all of the Levites would then assist and accompany all of the task and all of the details that the Bible laid out for the work of the tabernacle, the work of the temple, and all of the priestly functions for the Levites. And so God had made a great covenant with them, and we don't find that in the Scripture, but it's referenced in numerous places in the Bible. So you know what? He made a covenant with them. Look at verse 4. And he says, "And you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you," that he references in verse 1. He says, "Oh, now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you." And in verse 4, he says, "And you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts." I want you, I'm glad the video is good. I love to preach, but you're going to see that the covenant relationship of marriage is in 2 Malachi chapter 1. We'll talk about that next time I preach on Wednesday night. If God takes his covenants seriously, then we ought to take our covenants before him very seriously as well. And so what he says is, my covenant with Levi, look up at verse 5, my covenant was with him of life. Now, I will tell you, that is something I think I can preach, so that when we understand when we enter into a true relationship with Jesus Christ, you know, nearly everybody I meet in America thinks they're a Christian. You know, I go to church, I'm a good person, I've been baptized, but you understand the only way you enter into a covenant relationship, John chapter 2, it talks about Jesus said he did not commit himself to them because he knew it was in their heart. It's a commitment, a true faith in Jesus Christ and who he is and what he's done. And we commit to him and he commits to us, and then he takes care of all. You see, it's that true relationship with Jesus Christ that changes your life and changes everything. And what that relationship gives you is life and peace. Now, let me help you understand that just real quick. Life and peace. It's this. When you truly become saved, when you're truly born again, when you repent of your sins and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you will begin to understand, and it's a lifelong journey of learning, of studying, but for the first time ever, you'll begin to understand, my life is all about Jesus Christ. I know, he says, I've made a covenant with them so they would have life and peace. And I do believe this. I believe I can preach this. Saved, the objective, one objective for you was that you would have life and peace. That you would understand what life is all about. It's not about you. That the purpose is for you and I as believers to lift up and glorify the name of God through his Son, Jesus Christ. That is now our purpose. That is now my life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. When you're a believer, you understand this. You get distracted all the time. Days, weeks, and months of even doing this, but when we're thinking right, Caleb, we understand this. My life is about glory to Jesus Christ. Every minute, every hour, every day is honoring him. And when you're saved, it's for life and peace. So that you understand your life's about. Second thing that I do, you have peace. We've talked about this many times. That when you're saved, you have peace. Nothing makes sense. Where it looks like God couldn't be involved in that, could he? Every time Jesus, when he breathed, he said, peace. Even when he was walking on the water, telling him it was a ghost, he said, be not afraid. It is I. Be of good cheer. Peace. Peace. So I want you to know, I love this. If you feel the rumblings of your heart, you're disturbed and sleep, you're just not at rest. That's not the objective of Christ, of life and believers. responsibility that you have is get it right with the Lord. You can't expect to have peace, Christian. You've got unconfessed. Then there's those times you're like, I don't know. This might not be. We talk something. It could be that you just aren't having fellowship with Him, that you're not in His Word. You're not being fed, of course. If you don't eat, you're going to get jittery. If you don't eat spiritually, you're going to get spiritually jittery. Simple things, right? But I want you to know this. This is important. That when you enter into a covenant relationship with Christ, it's the same as the covenant relationship that He had with Levi. He said, my covenant with it was with him of my peace. Do you have peace? Do you understand what your purpose in life is? And are you living that out? Remember this, if you're a true believer, and you're not, we struggle with that on a daily basis. Because of lack of love for Jesus Christ. How is it that we can get distracted and we forget that my job is to glorify His name? It's because we love ourselves more than we love Jesus Christ. When we live for anybody else but Jesus, I would suggest not expect to have that peace that passes understanding. Not live in His name. So He says, my covenant with Him. And now look at this. This is why He gives that covenant. He gives now other three, six, seven. Does she have all those seven up there as well? I showed her this. I said, you don't really have to do all these. Because I don't know why. This is such a good time. It's the perfect amount. You know, it's unusual for me to stop in the middle of a chapter anyway in the Old Testament, right? Never snap much. It's good. So I want you to look at these seven things that the covenant was based on. Look at this. It's so beautiful. He says, my covenant was with him of life and peace. I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. A healthy fear of the Lord. Now this is, the Lord is talking about this. This is why I made this covenant with Levi. He was talking about how the things that he loved about Levi and that he could entrust Levi with them. And we better understand this, that we will stand before our God and we better have a healthy fear for the Lord. And if you misunderstand, and you know, which sins of mine were forgiven when I became a Christian? All of them. I still, you know, how I am honored to be. I understand what this text is. I ought to have more people than one thing, but this one. I would become more Catholic. Parents. Babies. Got children. That's it. And you better have a fear. And I had as well. The answer. All of the final word. Do I answer for that? That ought to make us quake a little bit. Word loved it about Levi. Now let's continue. He said, I loved him, and I gave him his covenant because he had fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. Now look at verse 6. He said, the law of truth was in his mouth. I love that. Levi, the law of truth was in his mouth. Now I want you to understand that. What would please the Lord? He says that you have a healthy fear of me. He says that the law of truth was in his mouth. And that's what the Lord expects not only of his preachers, of his messengers, but he expects that of all of his children. Is the law of truth in your mouth? Third, I want you to see. He says the law of truth, verse 6, was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. Yet godly speech. You know, one of the worst things, if you have the law of truth in your mouth, and yet then your mouth is full of profanity, your mouth is full of dirty jokes, your mouth is full of using the Lord's name in vain, how dare we? We ought to make sure of this. If our mouth is going to be full of the word of truth, if we're going to preach the truth, then we ought to make sure that iniquity was not found in our lips, that we don't speak about sinful things. We don't speak sinfully. That's so confusing to the world that we would preach the word of truth to them and then cuss right along with them, laugh at the dirty jokes, whatever it might be. Make sure of this. Make sure our lips, what we say, how we say it, the spirit that we sing in, represents Christ, because number six. He walked with me peace. That walk with the Lord, that is good. He wasn't a man of division, strife. He treated people fairly, equitably. He was kind. He treated all those in his life. This is Levi. The Lord speaks of that. And then look at this. Number six. This number five. I don't have a number on the page. And so he says, and he did turn many away from him. He's about to say that you're not. One of the things that a pastor, a spiritual leader should be is someone that others can seek the law at their mouth. You know, I think it is the wisdom of love, it's the change, it's the treatment. I have a long way to go from that. I want to be warmer, I want to be kind, I want to be approachable. I want you to know this. Don't let my scare you away. Beneath this intensity, there's a soft heart down there somewhere. And I want to help you. Don't run away. I want to help you. I promise nothing will surprise you. By God's grace, I will not hurt you. Because if anyone ever comes to me, I want to help you. Worse than the way of honor. He is the way of spiritual victory. but they departed out of the way of righteousness. They got out of the path of righteousness, and suddenly they said, I like this road better. You read Pilgrim's Progress, and it's every time they got off the way, it never ends well. It's such a good book. You need to read it. Read it slowly. You'll enjoy it. And it's so true. You think you can straddle the fence. You think you can kind of go halfway. No, it's all or nothing. So these priests, they departed out of the way. Now look at this verse 8. And he says, you have caused many to stumble at the wall. Wow. Many to stumble at the wall. That's, it'd be a stumbling block. I'll another day, another message, but I put this thing out there because I was thinking I have time enough, but I'm talking about fear. Remember, I mentioned this in a recent message. I said, I'm not sure if I can bring reproach to the Lord. Sure. I'll share it later. I'm convinced that, you know, what the Bible teaches is whatever we do will not impact God's faithfulness, will not impact His purpose, will not impact what He accomplishes. But I think we can do this because when our objective is to glorify His name, and I've got scripture, I'll share with you another time. We can put names. I think that's the quote of the time. We can profane His name. That we cannot tarnish His name of men, but it never affects Him. He will always be right. God has never been a liar. He will always be true. Just holy, good in all He does, but with Him. But I will tell you what was crystal clear is that we caused others to stumble, and that's exactly what this priest did. They departed out of the way, and when you depart out of the way, you will take others with you. Some of you in this very room, you have departed out of the way, and you couldn't go alone, so you've got others with you, and you text them, you call them, and say, let's go do evil! You'll answer. It's one thing for you to go out of the way. It's another thing for you to go out of your way. There's great judgment. There's great judgment for me as well. And look at this. He says in verse 8, but you have departed out of the way. You have caused many to stumble at the wall. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. So if you'll allow, you see, they've corrupted the covenant. But if you'll allow, there is a special... There is something I love about being a pastor that is humbling. And here's the thing, it's a special thing between me and the Lord. I'll go to my grave and I trust that God wanted me to be a pastor. But there's so many times I look in the mirror and go, hey, they corrupt the company between Levi. They have been partial of all. So the priests, all of a sudden, they would do this. They would say, then a friend of theirs would do the same thing, and they'd be like, no, wait. No, what we need to do is we need to teach the truth and love. And so here's, I'm just telling you, if there is a where we show partiality in this, it's others, and we are our own kids, or vice versa. Right? Love. You know, I see this all the time that, you know, we have changed this society, and I'm going to hustle again. We have changed this society. And you know, when I got in trouble, they bring me home from school, my parents never asked any questions. No, it was like, thank you very much. And the neighbors would go, yes. Oh. And I'm getting beat, you know, appropriately. And then if it was really bad, then my dad would come home and I'm like, I wish I'd known. Dad, that would be double jeopardy. You know, I wish I could have, you know, just explained to him, you know, a biblical concept and taken him, you know, to Leviticus and said, Dad, I've already done it. I didn't know that concept. Oh. you know, so, but nowadays it's like,